You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hail cheaters. Welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Doing all right, Josh. Let's get into it. Double game week news. I'm looking for upsides here as we look ahead. You know, I was talking with some of our friends on the Always Cheating Discord, and I'm entering the sort of quicksand phase of the FPL season. And that's when the more you struggle, the quicker you sink.
Yeah.
So how do we be cool in this moment of the FPL season, right?
Yeah. Well, you need some like black swan events, right? And maybe a double game week, you know, presents that for you. So, Brandon's, you're sort of on the injured list right now too. I think people may hear your voice sounds a little more nasal than usual. You're battling a cold. Yeah. So
I've got some Dayquil just like coursing through my veins right now. Yeah. So Dayquil is the poor man's horse placenta.
Exactly. The blood spinning or whatever. So yeah, credit to you for coming on and doing this pod. And we'll try to keep the energy. It might be a slightly shorter pod than usual. So instead of our normal hour and 77 minutes, whatever,
we won't have to split this episode into two DVDs when we ultimately release it at Best Buy.
Box set. Exactly. All right, so game week 24, we're 9/10 of the way through. Obviously, the match tomorrow is a big one for you and I. We both brought in a captain, Haaland. I actually have three players in tomorrow's match because I have Haaland, Foden, and Alvarez. I sort of went with the just play all three and see if two out of three come through for you. There's an extra kind of, I'm sort of like maybe Haaland pulls up lame, right? Like, has a setback and my vice captain, Ollie Watkins can come in for me. That would be kind of ideal. Who is your vice captain right now for 20?
The one, Ollie Watkins is my vice captain as well. Wow. So we're both sort of there praying for tragedy.
Short-term tragedy.
I was actually waiting in line for a car wash while Ollie Watkins was doing his thing against Sheffield United, and that was a long wait. A for the car wash, like five minutes it takes for these cars to go through this car wash, and you get a line of five people. That's a lot of anger building up in that car. Along with me seeing all these Watkins captainers have the time of their lives. Now, Watkins is an interesting character throughout the season. You know, I famously had him for all but one game week, game week in which he scored 24 points. Yeah. Now I have him for game week 23, but somehow it still feels like I missed out. I mean, am I wrong to feel this way?
Well, no, I mean, he was his effective ownership, right? So, for everyone who doesn't know, right, basically, if you own a player in fantasy, you have 100% of that player, right? And if you captain a player in fantasy, you have 200% of that player, right? Because their points doubled. Triple captain would be 300%, right?
Yeah, right.
So 200%. So his obviously, you know, if a player is 64% owned and is captained by half of his managers, that gets him to 96% effective ownership, right? Something like that. You know, that's exactly right. So Ollie Watkins going into yesterday's match was at exactly 100%. Effective ownership. So it didn't really help or hurt his return. Obviously, if you captained him, it helped tremendously.
Yes.
And if you kind of went the other way and tried to be, It was another week. I mean, we actually had several weeks like this over the last handful of weeks where it was, you know, it's pretty wide open captaincy. There were really quite a lot of options. And I think, you know, Palmer made sense. You could even argue for Saka. He, you know, obviously scored. But yeah, Bowen, I guess Dominic Solanke was the other kind of big one, yeah. Right? There was sort of like, do you just kind of go with Solanke? He's been so solid. Bournemouth have been so good. I saw someone had like pulled together. It was like a rolling average of underlying attacking and defensive performances, and Bournemouth were ridiculously high in both. It was like top three in both. Like yeah. They were just playing so extremely well at the moment, and of course, then they inevitably get a 1-1 draw with Forest. But yeah, and Gio Reyna, by the way, made his appearance. That was kind of cool. Hashtag. Sure. U.S. men's national team, and we also found out just today that the World Cup final is going to be in New Jersey / they're going to call it New York. Listen, you wouldn't have MetLife Stadium there if New York wasn't across the river. Okay. So it's like, it becomes this sort of semantic game, but it's like, it's not like that stadium was there and then New York became a powerhouse like city or whatever. Right. So it is, I mean, you know, so it's connected, New York and New Jersey.
I remember being stuck in a train station in Freiburg, Germany, and some guys approached me who were Dortmund fans actually traveling through the city for a match, and they approached and asked where I was from. I just exuded Americanness, and I said, "Oh, I'm from the great state of Michigan." I was in college at the time, and they're like, "We have no idea where Michigan is." And I said, "Well, Lansing, the capital city of Michigan." Nope, still no idea. So then I said, "Detroit," and they're like, "Yeah, Detroit Rock City." Yeah. So I feel like New York is the Detroit Rock City of the East Coast, and they just have to say that so the rest of planet Earth knows where this is going to happen.
Kind of a branding exercise. Yeah, exactly. So it's I'm really excited about that. We'll obviously talk. I mean, this is literally 2.5 years away still. So long way to go. But it's very exciting. And I'm excited about Copa. I have to get you there with Copa this summer. I am super excited about it just because I think it'll be fun to have all these South American countries here. You're sort of half American now. And I don't know if that changes, things for you
You're just excited to host some Chilean families in your spare bedroom or something
Exactly.
Copa America, it's going to be strange this summer in that why is it being played in North America?
It's just like calling MetLife Stadium in New York Stadium, Brian. It's just there's money and branding involved in having it here in the U.S. It's pretty much exactly why.
Yeah, I mean, Messi should want the air miles. I think I know he lives in the United States now, some part of the year. He should be wanting to travel back down to South America.
that's true. That was a chance to get back for us for a couple months. All right. Well, anyway, back to FPL for a moment here. I had so tomorrow I've got Haaland captain. We'll see what happens there. Otherwise, it's a pretty kind of gray arrow. I mean, I'm on a red arrow, but I three players to play tomorrow, my captain. So everything still to play for. But the big thing for me that was just kind of a bummer was, all Friday I'm waiting for, and I'm not like complaining. It's just like, it's just the way it worked out is kind of a bummer, but all Friday I was waiting for hopeful that we get some double game week news on Liverpool and game week 25. And it was sort of heavily predicted that we would. And then that came and went. And so late Friday evening, I was like, well, it's just very short time frame now. It's increasingly unlikely that Liverpool will play a double in 25. And so I might as well just go ahead and pull the trigger now and sort of attack game weeks 23 and 24. And so I decided to move Hwang, who'd been on my bench forever, and turn him into Anthony Gordon. And Gordon gets the first half assist. I mean, such a bummer he went off injured because that match ended up becoming a wild match, right?
And yes.
It would have been great to have 90 minutes of him. So I got 4 points and he went off injured. And while it's so funny, all this Kyle Walker controversy about 7 content creators who got Kyle Walker information and didn't tell anybody or whatever. I'd say the bigger controversy is, while all Americans were sleeping, a double game week was announced ahead of the game week 23 deadline. That had a much bigger impact, I feel like, long term. I mean, I absolutely would not have brought in Gordon, right? I would have either saved my transfer or brought in a Liverpool player. I mean, it was pretty massive in terms of how it changed your strategy. So now I've got an injured Gordon, and I'm sort of not as prepared as I should be for 25. And, it's just tricky, because going into 22, I did hold my transfer. And one of the reasons I did is because I wanted more information. I was hoping to have more information on game week 25. Right. And I ended up having kind of a bad game week. And I was sort of lamenting the fact that I kind of sat on my hands and I was trying to be patient. So this week I was like, no, don't do that any longer. Just go for it. Take your chances. And so I do. And then it didn't pan out. So the way I see it though, Brandon, here's what I finally got myself to an okay place, because I'm almost certainly now going to have to take a hit before game week 25, right? A 4-point hit. Mm-hmm. However, I would have started Odegaard instead of Gordon, right? So Gordon ends up on 4 points. Odegaard ends up on 2 points. So had I not made that transfer, I would be down 2 points right now. So if I take a -4, it's really more like a -2.
I love it.
And
yes.
So,
yes.
And it's like, I know this kind of stuff is kind of dumb, but it's like, listen, this is, it was like when Dubrovka got me the one, like he got 3 saves in the end of that 4-4 match. And I ended up with 1 point instead of 0. You got to take your wins where you
can. Marginal.
Get them.
This game is marginal.
Exactly. It's a competitive game now, and you got to take those wins where you can get them. So that was my like, And I recommend everybody try to find a way to do this. try to turn a loss into a
look for the
not quite a win, a kind of a stalemate or something.
So just on your team, what are you thinking about Gordon then at this point? Is he an immediate sell because he left the stadium in crutches in a boot? He's got a twisted ankle, but miraculous recoveries are the story of this season. Is he not the biggest fire you feel you have to put out right now?
Yeah, I mean, look at my team for 24. I don't have to move him if I don't want, like, so I think for me, I would love to see if we get any kind of news on Salah over the next week or so. They posted a training ground pick.
Yeah.
Who knows what that means?
He was alone though.
He was alone, like it's like George Costanza. I was alone. So it's hard to say. I don't think we'll see him for game 24. Could we now see him for 25? I don't know. I don't know that anybody does. And I sort of would be suspicious of anybody who claimed with a lot of confidence at this point to know what we'll get. But I think this is what's throwing off my planning a little bit, right? It's like it's hard to look ahead to 25 and sort of know exactly what the best team looks like, because we haven't even seen Haaland start a match yet. Right. And so it's like, well, I don't know. It's like, do I want a triple captain Haaland in 25? Well, not until he starts at least one match, right? Right. For Man City.
And looks good doing it.
And looks good doing it. That's true too. He looked a little shaky. Now it was not so shaky. The thing is, it's like, it was shaky in terms of his finishing, but he was dangerous. He was running. He was sort of, he looked fit positionally. He's always so good, right? He knows exactly how to hang on the back shoulder of the defender. And we saw that even in the final 20 minutes of that, of the Burnley match. And so it made me feel like, okay, like this, you've got to be out on the pitch for a while to kind of get that back. So, I was okay bringing him in, but let's see about the triple captaincy, even like captaincy, right? So, so that we're not like totally putting the cart before the horse, double game week 25 is officially a kind of super, not quite like end of year super, but a pretty big double game week. And you have Liverpool. They will play away to Brentford and they host Luton Town, right? Great double. Like if that were an isolated only team to play twice, you'd have 3 players and you'd consider triple captaining, right? But wait, Brandon, because Man City also play twice at home. They play Chelsea and Brentford at home that same double game week. And then you have Luton Town who play Man United and Liverpool, but suddenly Luton Town are like, I don't know, like the most dangerous team in the, like they can score
8 goals
anybody.
And 2. Yeah.
I know. Incredible. We had a lot of fun with Luton earlier. I just love how much we've talked about them. They're probably still going to go down, but
I don't know. Yeah. They look good, Joshua. And I think you have to be real about that.
It's true. And even if they, even if they do go down, though, they have brought the fun this season, right? They're not one of these anonymous one season up, one season down. Never think about them again. Luton will stick in our, our brains for a long time. So congrats to them. And then finally, you have Brentford, who play Liverpool and Man City, which is obviously a terrible double. But Ivan Toney has decided that he is going to score in every single match throughout the rest of the season. So he is at least on the table, I think, as a possible forward option. So, you know, just to get us going here a little bit, talking about these doubles, and I don't want to make the mistake of, like, there is a game week 24. There's a game week in front of us right now. We will talk about that later on in the pod. But, it, you know, certainly, and the other thing that makes it a little bit tricky, too, is that in game week 26, you have a handful of teams that don't play, right, because of the League Cup final. And so Liverpool don't play in 26. So that's one of the teams. It's a, maybe a little trickier to triple up on them because they don't play in 26. Like for like in my case, I've got like two injured players on my bench, right? So if I brought in triple Liverpool, I would be, you know, I'd have replaced, I'd have five spots to fill. And that's assuming I get rid of Cole Palmer and Poro. It's so I do think that, you know, for me, as far as I'm concerned, I'm trying to see 24, 25, and 26 as almost like one cohesive transfer strategy, right? Sort of thinking about all three of them at the same time. And honestly, probably 24 gets a little bit less attention. But part of the reason why is because Liverpool and Man City both have good fixtures in 24. Right? Man City host Everton at home in Game Week 24 and Liverpool host Burnley. So any moves you'd make for 25 for their doubles, you can just make those this week, right? If you're thinking about a minus four or even a minus eight, you can just go ahead and kind of pull the trigger on some of those moves early because you've got a week in between, right? The matches too. So it's not like there's no midweek chaos for either squad to worry about. So I think that does make it a little bit easier because I know everyone who's played fantasy for a long time has been guilty of the focusing so much on the double game weeks or worried about an upcoming blank or something like that, that they just neglect a really great fixture in front of them. But I just don't think that's as much of a concern this particular game week.
Yeah, and I've been thinking about what has been going wrong with my team and how do I fix it? So big misses for me this week were just another blank from Bowen, a blank from Solanke, who's been relatively good for me, certainly. And then the entirety of my defense. So if I just say in a vacuum, let's look at game week 24 and what can I fix just for game week 24 to get me moving back in the right direction. And it all feels so variance feels high to me right now. So for me to just pick one player or one transfer out of a hat for game week 24 doesn't feel like a, like an optimal strategy for me at 1.4 million. So I'm choosing to just look ahead to game week 25 because, like you called it, the black swan events earlier in the pod. I think for people who are really kind of in that quicksand moment, this is the double game week is the only thing to get you out of it because I have lost all faith in the single transfer that will transform my season. So I'm planning to roll in 24 and just kind of like see yet another game week play out. The level of defense in the Premier League right now, it is like watching the XFL. Okay. So the NFL, a long-standing sports product in America, and Trump and Vince McMahon came along and decided we need things to be just a little bit more awesome. And so let's
we need
do
a guy named He Hate Me on the team.
Sure. I think the Premier League is like one step away from letting players put their own sort of phrases on the back of their jerseys.
I think it's part and parcel with all the injury stuff that we talked about. I think we may even talked about this in last week's pod, but just matches stacked on top of matches, COVID, lots of postponements. So you had a lot of matches played over the summer over the last couple of years. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's a factor or if it's just the talent level is so high that there's so much money in the Premier League that even kind of Luton level squads, right? Like maybe 5 years ago, a promoted team like Luton would have looked more like Huddersfield or whatever. And Newcastle keep a clean sheet in a home match like that, right? Certainly I did not expect them to concede four and not even really look like, it didn't look fluky, right? It was like they conceded four. It could have been more, right? It was it's bizarre. And someone was like, well, they're missing Joe Linton. And I'm like, yeah, but like, it shouldn't, Newcastle should not rest on Joe Linton. Like, that should not be, I mean, he's a very good player and I like him a lot, but like, you can't concede four goals to
not
Linton
to this
at home
degree. Yes.
Yeah, it's not exactly
that big of a loss.
It was just like 6 weeks ago, right? When they like hosted Man United and it was like a scrappy 1-0 win. Right. And so I don't really know what changed. I mean, I don't know. It just discombobulated.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Liverpool, so the strategy, Josh, of attacking the doubles in 25, again, Liverpool is kind of tricky because of that blank.
Yep.
I don't know. I still think I'm going to be tripled up on Liverpool going into that and then using my transfer going into game week 26 to offload one of those Liverpool players. I don't feel like I'm going to want to transfer Cole Palmer out just given how insanely high his value was from his purchase price at this point.
I'm inclined to agree with you there too. I think for me, it's just gonna be hard for me not to take a bunch of hits, I think, over the next 3 weeks or so. And I'm kind of just resigned to it. I think with the doubles, they don't hurt as much, right? Because if you're buying players that you think are going to start both those game weeks, then it's a little bit like my justification for why the Gordon move is okay, right? It's like 4 versus 2. You know, you just sort of double your chances a little bit. So, I think. So let's get into some questions about game week 25. CK Wiles asked, how would you rank the order of double game week 25 players? And it's kind of crazy that I don't know that there's a consensus at all on this. Like, if Haaland is healthy, then he's probably the top player on that list. I think once you get past Haaland, it is completely wide open in terms of who would be number two on that list. Like, let's assume that Salah is not ready. Yeah. Okay, just for the sake of this conversation.
Yeah, and then I would say Trent Alexander-Arnold should be second behind Haaland. And there, I agree, there are caveats with Haaland still, which is insane. And now there are caveats with Trent, where we all talked about Connor Bradley's midweek performance, which was incredible. He was not in the squad on Sunday against Arsenal, and then Trent gets subbed around the 58th minute. You think Klopp is maybe being a little careful with Trent's minutes as he comes back from his minor injury. But point is, it's not like Trent is what he was 6 to 8 weeks ago, just like locked in 90 minutes and doing absolute bits the entire time.
Totally. And it wasn't like he was subbed it ended 3-1, but it was 2-1 at the time, right? So it wasn't like it wasn't like the match was over.
The game was still there for Liverpool.
Exactly.
There was just one particular moment that sticks out in my mind of Martinelli receiving the ball, turning to size up Trent and just kicking the ball around him. It was like,
oh yeah,
it cannot be overstated how terrible a one-on-one defender Trent is.
Martinelli was roasting him as well in the match. And I think it's really tricky with him. And I actually think I'm probably going to end up fading and just not having Trent for 25. And part of the reason why is because Connor Bradley has played so well. And I think when you look at game week 25, it's away to Brentford, home to Luton, and then League Cup final. Right. So the Luton match will fall in between the Brentford match and the League Cup final. And it's home to Luton. So if you're still kind of worried about Trent, now obviously Liverpool have to take every match incredibly seriously, right? They're very much in the title race right now. But is that an opportunity to play Connor Bradley in that home Luton match? Right. I think there's like enough slight worry there that maybe Trent doesn't play 3 in a week. That I think that's enough for me to try to get away with not having him.
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, Connor Bradley was missing because of quote personal reasons. Maybe he after his performance in midweek came into the locker room and just threw up some middle fingers and said, "I'm too big for this club.
I don't know.
I'm gonna wait for Real Madrid to call, and we may never see him again." I don't know. I agree with your view on Trent as a Trent owner. I will try to find the positive side. I do think he is one of those players who can just post a big score. So
apparently apparently his dad died, Connor Bradley, which is a personal reason. That
it
is very,
it is a personal reason. So, you know, and I hate that that would happen to anybody.
Of course, obviously, I think it just came out. I just Googled it. I don't think you did anything wrong there. All right. So let's get back to the question though. Ranking players. Now we Connor Bradley, probably not in our top three now, you know, maybe maybe we'll call this the Connor Bradley Memorial Ranking System.
Let's do it. Yep.
So
his dad's memorial. Now, Connor Bradley is still among the living.
Connor Bradley's father's memorial ranking system for Game Week 25. Yes, exactly. So I think that Darwin, poor Darwin, probably needs to be pretty high on this list.
Yes, but we got to put Jota above Darwin. So, okay.
Do we? I mean,
yes.
Okay, here's why I think there's at least, I just want to get some Salah news, because this is huge. Because when Salah is healthy, Jota is not a full-time starter. Not always. I mean, there's just too many players. There's five players for three slots, and he becomes a little bit more of a rotation risk.
Yeah, I mean, Gakpo stunk against Arsenal, barely touched the ball, didn't really know where to be.
Yeah.
Jota was anonymous too. The attack was tough, and I guess Luis Diaz was probably had the most impact on the game and the attack.
Yeah, I thought he played well. I thought he played well at the end of the game week 22 match as well. Mm-hmm. When he got that, scored the goal on the Darwin assist.
Mm-hmm. So I still think Jota is, just given his consistency of returns, I wouldn't reject Jota just because of rotation risk, because I think the fixtures are good enough to where if you get one start and one substitute appearance from Jota, he still ranks pretty high.
I also consider him to be a pretty high ceiling player, right? Part of the appeal for him is, even if he only got one start in 25, if that start was the Luton match, right? Even with Luton playing well, it's not like they're defending well, right? So it's like, so even if that were an open match, you could see maybe that's a match where Jota just gets an 18 point return or something like that, right? He's always got that in his drawer, so to speak. I think there are interesting, I think Man City is a really interesting squad for 25, because outside of Haaland, there are, I suppose KDB you can, but again, it's like, okay, I'm walking myself into and out of corners, right? You know, like cul-de-sacs as I talk here.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm doing the on the one hand, on the other hand in my head before I actually say a word. But I think that it's really tricky with Haaland and KDB and Alvarez to know what you're going to get across these 2 weeks. Now, because the first match at home is Chelsea, I would expect something like a full strength squad. And the question is, and we may know more after tomorrow's match, does a full strength, absolute best version of Chelsea squad include KDB, Alvarez, Foden, and Haaland? Do all four of them make a best choice 11?
No, I don't think so. I think one of them falls out for Bernardo Silva. And I don't think it depends on Pep's desire to play Foden on the left. And if that's not a thing, then you've got Doku, the Grealish back. Doku sort of thing.
Yeah. Yep.
So I would expect some rotation, but again, I would sort of like point to the Jota argument of how much do we want to drill down into the, I need two starts, because Liverpool and City, the benefit of these teams is, as you say, high ceilings. We're talking about assets with very high ceilings.
Right.
And to just raise the odds of you getting returns across 180 minutes instead of just 190, I'm fine sort of rolling the dice there. So, but I guess the core of the question is then who? I think De Bruyne is probably less likely to just not see minutes in either match, like to just sit on the bench and not come in into a match, whereas a player like Foden or even Bernardo Silva, I think those are players that you could just see not get any minutes in one of the matches. So I feel like I would put KDB beneath a second choice beneath Haaland in terms of my Man City rankings.
Yeah, I think KDB goes second as well now. And very curious tomorrow. I think we get a little more information on, let's see how many minutes he plays. I probably starts, but does he play 60? Does he play 70? The question then is, and I don't want to go too far down this road because by the time people are listening to this pod, we'll know. You know, in many cases,
Haaland will have already scored 5 goals. It would be
exactly. But like Alvarez, right? I mean, I don't think Alvarez goes a full 90 without playing a match, and I would expect him to start one of these two certainly as well. And so he's just too good, right? He's just playing too well right now, and he's not really a forward anyway, right? He's kind of a jack of all trades type player, right? You can play him as a forward. You can play him in a KDB playmaker role. You can play him on the right. And so there are lots of spots where you could, you know, fit him into the squad. So, so I think it's really tricky. And then defense, in terms of the defense, I don't know. I mean, it's really hard to recommend a Man City defender ahead of game week 25. I mean, I can't think of a single defender I'd be excited to have, right? There's all this Kyle Walker stuff, and I suppose Ake is maybe the safest you could get, but they also, in like what seems like virtually every single match, have a moment like after the 75th minute where they just lose their concentration and concede a goal. And it's happened so often now that I don't think you can just call it a fluke or a moment of randomness or whatever. No. It's like, it feels like it's symptomatic of some kind of, it's almost symptomatic of how good they are, right? That like they have these matches in hand so much that they just sort of switch off a little bit.
I am so not interested in having a City defender for that reason. And then they just become something you want to offload.
Yeah.
And even at 5 million, like defense in FPL has been so miserable the last month or so. I can't even feel like I can justify more than 4.5 on any defensive asset, unless you're going up to a truly attacking defensive asset like Trippier or Trent. And that's ultimately like the biggest issue, right, with the City defenders, is there's nothing as far as attacking output.
Yeah. So it's really interesting. I mean, it's just a really – and I'll push back on something that you said earlier, and I don't think you're wrong exactly, but you were saying that you're giving up a little bit of hope that like one transfer, one decision is going to turn everything around. And I think it's right not to think that way in general, because it's it sort of sets you up for disappointment or whatever. But I will say there were a lot of managers who brought in Eze a couple of weeks ago, right, and benefited from his brace. A lot of people who captained Watkins in 23 and are, unless there's an absolute explosion tomorrow, set to do very well as a result of that. And so I do think that there are like, and so, to bring it back to 25 for a second, just because that's what we're talking about here, I do think that maybe there is somebody out there who just says, you know what, Ivan Toney, it looks incredible. I think that, you know, I think he's going to start and play the full 90 in both these matches. I see at least one goal in these matches for him. And so maybe he's a great transfer for 25, right? Like somebody who's like a little off the radar, and you just sort of, maybe you fade Darwin, right? And you just kind of, you know, go for it with somebody like him. There was a question from Eric. He said, is Morris an MFFA type player, Brandon? Your boy, Carlton Morris. Does he need to enter the conversation? Are you a Morris head?
No, I hate Carlton Morris because I dropped, because the last time I the one and only time I'll ever get Morris was for a Luton double game week earlier this season. And I dropped Ollie Watkins ahead of his 23 pointer for this garbage.
Why are Morris and Watkins linked like this, Brandon? It's just like they're destined like protons and neutrons to circle this FPL season,
okay,
aren't they?
Okay, Oppie.
Yeah. all right, let's see. Any more questions before we get into, I think the FPL Alex had just a question about how hard do we hit double game week 25? Is triple Liverpool not worth it if we don't want a free hit in 26? And I think it's the honest answer, even though it's a kind of boring answer, is that that is to be determined. And I think in some ways it depends on how I feel about Salah. And I think I'm probably going to bring in at least one Liverpool player in 24. I am actually leaning towards Jota. And the only thing, it wasn't that I was like down on Jota before. I mean, because I it was just about how high, you know, he kind of ranks in our little ranking system we just did there, yep. Like the Connor Bradley system that we put together. But I think that it's, you know, I do think that assuming we don't get news that like Salah return is imminent, and maybe they kind of wait until the League Cup final, right? I think that's a possibility. Then I think the Jota, you know, really could be a great pick, and it'd be fun to have Jota for 24, right? I mean, home to Burnley. At the moment, I have zero Liverpool players, and so even if you didn't have a double in 25. I'd be looking at a Liverpool player for my 24 transfer. But I don't know if I'll get to three or not in the end. I think I may end up with two Liverpool, and that's just how it might have to be.
Yeah. I have Jared Bowen at Arsenal and,
he turns into Jota so easily.
Yeah. And like, I can't stand the sight of him. It's a real shame. I hate when this happens with fantasy assets where like, I like Jared Bowen. I like his play style. He's just playing on a West Ham team that's going through a horrible moment right now in terms of creativity and attacking output, really missing Paqueta. Yeah, I mean, if he was looking a little better, I would be more inclined to roll my transfer and wait for the solid news. But yeah, I feel the same way, and that Jota is very tempting.
What do you think about the Watkins to Darwin move? I think a lot of us were considering that for 24 or 25. And you know, Watkins play they host Man United in 24, and they play away to Fulham in 25. So in some ways, the 25 move is a little more appealing if you're going to move on from Watkins. I don't know. I mean, and obviously we also have this. Are you worried at all about the Darwin foot injury, right? He came off the bench. He had this sort of hadn't trained for a couple of days. And so it wasn't a shocker that he didn't start today. But it doesn't sound like it's anything serious. He obviously came on. In the last like 20, there was a kind of a fun moment. I like the moment when he hit that terrible shot. And then Gabriel like screamed in his face, kind of like, yeah, whatever. And then they just started hugging on the pitch. And I was like, I don't know what's going on right now, but I like the passion. I like the fire.
Yeah. I love it when you can almost hear the rocks rolling around in Gabriel's head in moments like that. Just like, truly.
I don't know if Darwin's much. I don't know who's coming off better in that. And interaction.
Yeah.
Gabriel had a very tough match. He almost classic Gabriel, he almost scored in the match too. He had another one of those Gabriel headers from like 13 feet away where you're like, how is he this far out of the box and how did he get this close to scoring on this corner? Like he's got a real knack for set piece.
I feel bad for him on that own goal because it's another Saliba mistake, and Saliba is just becoming famous for just abdicating responsibility in moments like that. He's like, maybe if I let the ball roll, maybe if I screen or shield, and he either is too rash or doesn't do anything. There's really no in between for Saliba. So I feel a little bad.
Yeah. I think Raya's had some moments too, where I feel like it's, you wouldn't mind seeing him like command his box a little more aggressively. Although it's so weird because a player who I do think is usually pretty commanding is Alisson. And he and, I mean, of all the two players, like Alisson and Virgil van Dijk, it was such an unusual, like it's crazy.
Alisson let in a Matt Turner goal against Trossard. That was pretty cool to see. Back to the Watkins thing, I'm fine. I would be fine moving Watkins to Darwin Nunez for game week 24 because
I'm going to isolate this quote and drop it on.
Yeah, I'm not doing it, but I think it's a fine logical strategy in that Sheffield United, I don't think it can be underscored enough in this moment how bad they are and how Chris Wilder is already into his King Lear moment. in this run at the club, and he's just like blaming referees, eating sandwiches for all of his problems.
He's like, I don't know. It's so funny because he got this job, and it's like he came in at a 10. You know, it was like there was no building up of
too hot.
You know, I the alternative would be to have Roy Hodgson, who's been at a zero the entire season. And so what do you want? It's like at least the anger shows he's like engaged.
Sure, he's giving the fans something. Watkins, God, you sell him at your own peril, yes, and I think he's still a good player to hold. But if you're chasing some kind of upside, I think this is exactly the right moment to try to move Watkins to a player with that potential at Liverpool with the double coming. I mean, do you totally disagree?
I don't totally disagree. I would say because Villa have been so good at home this season, and obviously just because he had such a great match and is in a nice run of form, my inclination would be, and also because Darwin is still a little at risk, I suppose, my inclination is not to bring in Darwin. The thing for me is because I have Alvarez and Holland, I'm still considering a kind of lateral, like Alvarez to Darwin, and then that would give me another Man City spot that I could turn into KDB. Right. So that is something I'm considering as well. So that's like another route that I would go. And then I could honestly just keep Watkins, which I don't, that is like an approach that I don't absolutely hate because Villa play, Fulham away in 25. It's not a great fixture, but it's not terrible. And then it's Forest and Luton Town in 26 and 27. Right. So, and obviously that can just be a transfer, right? But like if you're tripling up on Liverpool players and stuff like that, it's going to be hard to, I don't know, like it'd be kind of nice just to have Watkins and just like kind of be like, all right, I'm just going to have him for this full match and maybe I don't bring in Tony or Darwin or something like that. And then I'm just sort of set long term. I don't know. But again, I think I am trying to play the game weeks in front of me a little bit more. And I think this kind of like this like little bit of hedge that I've been trying to do more, which is like trying to play like five game weeks at once. It's not working. You know, it's like, I really need to like, just kind of focus on 1, 2, 3 game weeks. And, you know, it's like 29 right now, right? Like this big like blank that could be coming in, or it will be coming. There's no getting around it. I don't have a firm strategy on that yet because it's just going to get in the way for me right now. Right. And I still have a free hit. And so as do you. And so it's just like, there's no reason. Worst case scenario, I just play that, right? But let's get through 25, and then we can kind of decide, you know, what we want to do from there. So that's where my brain is right now.
Yeah, I think that's good. You're planting the Ivan Tony seed for me of Watkins or Solanke to Tony just into game week 25. And maybe that is the better Darwin move, considering the blank in 26 for Liverpool. I will say just again on Watkins, Watkins is of course a better player at home, and they're hosting Manchester United in game week 24. So this is good. Manchester United sadly again lost Martinez in central defense. So are they going to be as strong as they have been the last game?
Seven days.
Exactly. Yeah. So Lots of options. Despite how down I am on any one individual asset, there are still lots of options that appear to have upside.
Well, I was just trying to balance things out. We've talked about this before, like true Midwesterners, Brandon. You and I try to, you know, if one is up, we try to bring the other one down. Sure. If one is down, we try to bring the other one up. We want to be right in the middle, ideally, at all times. That's the Midwestern way of life, Brandon. So we have now done what is effectively like a full pod before we even got to our first break of the pod, Brandon. So I want to quickly, though, shout out. And I don't think I have the name exactly right for this podcast or for this contest, Brandon. But this is... Is it the Premier League non-Premier League kit contest? Is that right?
Yes, that sounds right.
Okay.
And you got to get it. It's shoehorn second half league in there somehow.
Right. Second half. Yeah. So we basically, to sum it all up, starting in game week 24, so starting a week from now, right, or a week from yesterday, we are going to start a new second half league. OK, Okay. You don't have to change your team, but the league, if you join this league, it starts in game week 24 and the points start from game week 24 on. So if you are mired in a little bit of misery so far this season, Brandon, you and I might know a little bit about that.
Touching distance, yes.
It all resets. It's like the end of Fight Club, Brandon. It's all going to reset. And it never made sense that, by the way, I don't know why blown up buildings would reset credit card companies. It was even in 1999, it was all electronic, right? I don't really understand.
They at least had those reel-to-reel tapes going in some other building.
And how do they clear out these buildings? You're like, you work in Manhattan. Like,
there's somebody in there.
Hundreds of people. I don't think I've ever seen a giant. I used to work in the Time Life building many years ago. At 1 a.m. at the Time Life building, there's like 200 people in that building, like doing various things, like all kinds of stuff's going on. So they killed like 1,000 people at the end of Fight Club. There's no way they didn't. So
yeah, I hold Meatloaf responsible. There's blood on his hands.
Yeah, exactly. And the many versions of Tyler Durden. And anyway, so that's beside the point, though, Brendan. So we're resetting here in Game Week 24. It is open to Patreon supporters. That's all Patreon supporters at any pledge level, including anyone new that joins this week. So I know this is a little bit of a, that's the catch, I suppose. Yeah. But if you listen to the pod and you enjoy the pod and you want to support the cheaters, you can do it at a very, like the lowest pledge level is nothing, right? It's like less than a cup of coffee. So if you want to support the cheaters, you can go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. The winner of this contest gets to pick the kit of their choice. The catch is the kit cannot be from the Premier League.
Yes.
And the kind of other part of it is that Brett and I will also get that kit for ourselves.
Yeah.
So, and then we'll model it. We'll take some photos, whatever. We will support you. We will support your club that you pick, whether it's your club or just a club that you think is funny. Like maybe you've always wanted a St. Pauli kit, right? Like the club, whatever, right? Like then we will get kits for ourselves as well.
There was a discussion yesterday about Luton Town, and if Luton gets relegated, does that qualify them for the non-Premier League kit contest? Because I was complaining about how the Luton Town orange kit makes them look like they all are doing like hot and readies at Little Caesar's Pizza. So I don't think that counts.
No,
I think
they're
off the table.
No, I agree. And I actually think, however, if you wanted to pick like Leicester or a promoted team, I actually think that would be okay. I think it's if it's a championship club coming up, I think that would work. But ideally, I want to see some like weird. I want to see some weird stuff, Brandon. I want to see some like Argentina. I'm not even talking like Boca Juniors. I want deep, like weird, hard to get stuff. Like gotta go to we'll find it. We'll hunt down whatever is required, Brandon. If we have to go to a club shop, you know, somewhere, then we're gonna make that happen. Anyway, so you go to patreon.com/alwayscheating to support the pod. We'll have the link up there. I wonder if I can do this in real time. I've been meaning to do this, Brandon. I'm going to do it right now.
Do it.
No, I'm not, because that'll be distracting everybody listening. But I'm gonna do it after this pod is down, I promise. And we'll get that up on our we'll get it on the Discord. We'll also put it on our Patreon page that you can just the second you click support, join the pod, you can get access to that league, and we'll have an auto join link, so it's really nice and easy. So thank you to everyone who supports the pod, and hopefully this contest is a nice way for all of our Patreon supporters to feel like they have a chance to play for something down the stretch, no matter how you're doing in your various mini leagues and overall rank wise.
Outstanding. Patreon.com/alwayscheating. Josh, we'll take a break. And when we come back, we'll take some more questions from our FPL mailbag looking ahead to game week 24.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, Brian, we're back. Game week 24 kicks off next Saturday. Nice long week in between matches. And we have what I would consider to be an FPL classic, Brandon. You got a nice early morning fixture on Saturday. You've got a nice slate, 10 a.m. East Coast time matches. And then you got Forest Newcastle, classic God knows what's going to happen Newcastle match. 2 on Sunday, and then a little fun Monday match, Brandon. So
Honestly, you imagine this is being exactly a Palace fan or a Chelsea fan right now? That's going to be like the misery derby.
That is so weird. I mean, I don't think Poch is going to get sacked, but it honestly just feels like the gambles that they made on so many of these players is just like were catastrophic, right?
Yes.
The Mudrick types and but that's, I don't want Chelsea fans to get any more bummed out than they already are. So, but this is to me, like looking at the slate of fixtures for 24, this is what I want from my Premier League weekend. Right.
Yes.
So, I want a bunch of matches on Saturday. Give me a couple on Sunday, right? So I can sort of check in and out depending on what my schedule allows. And then a little dessert, a little Monday match at the end, especially when it's fairly low stakes. I will have Palmer starting for this match, certainly. But will I captain him? Very unlikely, right? Based on the other players that are available. So, so it's kind of a fun, and he's also his ownership is getting quite high, right? So it'd be just kind of a fun, almost pure watch-ish kind of match to end the week. So, we talked a little bit about this, but just to kind of get it organized here for game week 24, your thought at the moment, barring any injuries, is that you're going to hold your transfer, keep your powder dry.
I'd really like to hold, but, I feel like no attacking Liverpool assets when they're home hosting Burnley is making yourself quite exposed. Also, the other side of that is you're not taking advantage of a great opportunity to score points. And Bowen has a bad fixture and he's been bad himself. So I think in all likelihood, I move Bowen to Jota or a Liverpool midfielder of my choosing.
Yep.
And then the captaincy becomes tricky. We can get to that You, sounds like you're also targeting Jota. I hate when we pretty make much, the same move.
But. I know, pretty much the same spot though. And my, you know, we don't have the same, I don't have Bowen. I have Odegaard, but I'm in the same spot where, I mean, Odegaard is, I've probably been guilty of being a little sour on him on some recent pods. And it, listen, it's, there's fantasy and there's the Premier League, right? And Odegaard might've been the reason that Arsenal won today. Right. Like, and so he's obviously an extremely good player. I don't want to badmouth him, but fantasy wise, he's been catastrophic for me, right? Yeah. Like just sort of all of the ways I could have gone, all of the transfers I could have made. And I brought him in a few weeks ago. And it's one of those moves you look back and you're like, where was my head when I, you know, when sure. I did that. And yeah. so, but anyway, so he just moves to Jota so easily. Right. And so it's similar to Bowen where it's like, why don't I just, you know, almost no chance that Salah's gonna be back for this match. Right. So why don't I just go bring in Jota, right? They host Burnley. It should be a match where you'd expect Liverpool to score several goals. And then I've got a player who I think will get at least one start in 25, if not two. Why wouldn't I make that move, yeah. right? It feels like a pretty straightforward one. I think the keeper situation is kind of interesting now, as you know, many of us own Areola. He gets subbed off at halftime today for Fabianski. It's just been really chaotic with Areola. It's like he's been terrible fantasy wise for many, many weeks. And then suddenly he can't stop scoring double digit returns. Right. Just like molten fire. And now he's back to playing like half of these matches, getting subbed off at halftime, subbed off before a pen with like a minor injury. I don't know. So like
Areola is tripping.
Yeah. And you and I both have good backup options. I mean, I've actually heard that there's a chance that we don't see Pope at all this season. I heard that recently. So I probably, even though God, Newcastle's defense has been, you know, just as bad, but I'll probably start Dubravka for this one. And I don't know. I mean, if you had Dubravka or Areola, so Dubravka, they play Forest away, or Areola, it's West Ham hosting Arsenal at home. I think even without the Areola chaos, I'd probably go Dubravka. And
just zero questions. Dubravka all day. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have Leno. He's my backup to Areola, or I should say the other way around. And
yep. Hosting Bournemouth.
Yeah, yeah, I'll just hope for saves there. Fulham have not been great defensively recently, and they've not been.
Get a clean sheet lane 22, though.
That's
right?
True. So that's true. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And I'll be very sort of moody during that match, wanting a Fulham victory, but wanting Solanke points, but wanting my Leno clean sheet. Mm-hmm. What am I doing?
Yeah, you'll be all over the place. That's a classic fantasy experience right there. Yeah. So we did talk about and so I think that's where I'm leaning. The only thing that would maybe change is if I decide to get super aggressive right away with like a KDB type move. But I don't love it. Part of the reason I don't is because Man City, play the early match on Saturday. And so the lineup tomorrow will be instructive, right? Like if KDB, for example, was rested tomorrow, don't think it's likely, but like if he didn't start, then I would really like him for the home match with Everton. If he plays 85 minutes on, you know, tomorrow, I don't really like him at all as a transfer, right? Because they play the early match a handful of days after that. And again, it's not like, I don't think I'm being overly cautious here, right? I mean, this is what, you know, Pep and KDB have come out and said, which is that we are going to try to treat him really carefully and not overwork him and not sort of re-aggravate this hamstring that's just going to be a recurring, you know, problem for him now, maybe for the rest of his career.
Yeah, because he's at that point in his career where he'd still like to play more football. He's achieved so much, but yeah, if they keep aggravating it, then his career might be totally over at this high level.
Totally.
Would you consider being super aggressive and taking a hit to get both Jota and KDB for 24?
I don't think I can afford it. Mm-hmm. So I don't hate it. If you have the money, I think because I moved early on Holland, I did sort of, and I went from Isak to Holland. So that gobbled up like 6 million, you know? And so I think that I, you know, it's a little harder, I think, to get there. I'm not even sure I can, I don't know. I gotta look, I gotta get my like calculator out, Brandon, and figure out sure. how many more. It's all well and good to talk about how I want to have KDB and Holland and maybe Trent and Jota. And then you start to look at it and you're like, oh wait, I can't afford half of those players.
You get some financing from the Premier League, you'll be fine.
That's true. If they could float me like just yeah. $5 million for a show, and I'll pay it back. You know,
you got a little post-it note on your computer monitor yeah. that just says, pay FPL commissioner, $2.1 million.
Wouldn't that be amazing if they were like a let you do that? Like for one game week, you could have $5 million, but then the next game week, you had to return like $6 million. It was like they like charged you yeah. interest. Yeah, that'd be really cool. Yeah, they should do that.
Yeah, I think the captaincy decision is kind of interesting and will largely be based on our assessment of Manchester City and Haaland on yeah. Monday. Because yeah. if Haaland is kind of like, I don't know, yeah. we're still not totally sold on his epicness, yep. then maybe it would feel more fun to wait and captain on the midday fixture for Saturday yeah. and go for a Liverpool attacker because they're at Anfield. Yep. I expect them to dismantle Burnley pretty easily.
And I wouldn't be stunned if Everton gave Man City a little bit of trouble as well, right? They're this weekend was a tricky one, but in general their defensive, I talked about Bournemouth, but yeah. Everton's defensive numbers have been really solid as well the last handful of weeks. And so I don't know if that's like a total walk in the park. It's not a bad match for Man City, but it's not an absolute gimme. And I think because there's a little bit of doubt now around virtually every single player in Man City, right, and whether they're going to start a particular week or not. Yeah. I think Jota at home to Burnley could end up being a really fun captain pick. And I actually wonder if he might end up being, there's enough managers out there with Darwin too.
Yeah.
And of course, if Haaland scores like a hat trick tomorrow, then you probably just default to Haaland, right? So there's yeah. a lot of different ways this which I think is great. It's good for the game. Just because it hasn't worked out once for you and me so far mm-hmm. Does not mean that we can't have it both ways, right? We can't lament when there's no interesting captain picks and then also lament when there's a bunch of captaincy chaos, right? It's like I want the chaos because it, like you were saying before, it's chaos is a ladder, Brandon.
Sure.
You saying that just because I meant bald? What's ahead?
Oh, no, that wasn't the bald guy. That was Littlefinger who said chaos is a ladder.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, exactly. It wasn't the whatever his name was.
Yeah, the freaky bald guy. Yeah.
Varys. Yeah. Varys the eunuch. All right. So, I think that's where I'm leaning. I think you could, honestly, you could make a case for Palmer in that Monday match. I think that he's been... I mean, Chelsea are in a really tough spot right now, but he is consistently playing really well. I thought even in the Liverpool match, he had some moments. They get into the box too. Like it feels like there's always a chance for a pen. Like we didn't really get a chance to talk about this even on our Thursday Patreon pod, but I felt like he really, I'm honestly shocked that first pen wasn't called for Chelsea in that match.
Yeah, I mean, the same thing happened against Liverpool, where Gallagher had a clear, Van Dijk clearly chopped him down in the box. And apparently, the refs hate Chelsea. Right
now. I don't know. I think Chelsea hate Chelsea. So it's a mutual hate fest.
You hate to see it. Yeah, but
the hate. Palpatine doesn't, Brandon. We've talked about, yeah. And he's right about a lot of things. So
here's the thing with Palmer. Yeah. That I could say in a positive way and that be like, sure, let's try and captain him, mm-hmm. is there are precious few teams right now where there's that one player that we know is the talisman. I think that's been a tricky part of the season is all these great teams have so many great players and they're spreading the points around. Even like West Ham, it used to just be it's Bowen. Well, Bowen is kind of ceding some territory to Kudos right now. Man City is spreading all these points. Arsenal doing the same thing. And with Chelsea, it's only Cole Palmer. So if you think that that's a decent fixture for Chelsea to bounce back and they get out from under their home support, maybe that's good vibes for them to just be in a different ground, then maybe Palmer is a good pick.
Yeah, I think that I was looking at Palace a second ago because I was curious if they what was going to happen with Hodgson, and if like if he was even be coaching for next week's match. Yep. And apparently Steve Parrish is having difficulties finding a manager who's willing to take on the role this late in the season.
I thought you were going to say he was having trouble finding Roy Hodgson. He's like, I'm trying to get him on the phone to talk to him about this.
Have difficulties finding.
Can't get him on the blower.
Does not know where he is. And then I was thinking it'd be cool if, and that's why I was Googling where Patrick Vieira is right now, because, you know, in Italy, when they fire a manager, they typically, or not typically, but sometimes they will fire the replacement and they'll bring back the manager that was sacked, right? Because they are still paying him to do a job. Like, you never see this in the Premier League. But this
didn't Crystal Palace do just this, where they've had Hodgson, he left, got Vieira, and then he's
I don't think they sacked Hodgson necessarily. But like, I love the idea that like they're probably still paying Vieira, right? They probably gave him a 4-year deal or whatever. But he is currently managing Strasbourg in Ligue 1, so he would have to leave Ligue 1 to do it. So anyway, I don't think that's happening.
No,
and Palace is probably fine. It's actually interesting looking at the table right now. I mean, Luton are above Everton at the moment. Now, granted, Everton did get docked points, but still, it's and Forest are in a little bit of trouble too. Yeah. Brandon, it's so we've got to like, and you know, Palace should have just enough talent. It's kind of hard to see them going down, right? It's just like, it's hard to see a team with Eze and Elise and a kind of veteran heavy defense getting relegated. And so I don't understand why a manager wouldn't take that job. Like, it's all you have to do is like a mediocre job, right? They have what, 14 matches, 14 matches left. You win 5 out of 14. Like,
yeah,
everyone's gonna be thrilled, right? 5 out of 14, get a draw in there as well. Like, they get them to 14 points, or I mean to 40 points in the season.
When you put it that way, like, Nuno should have held out for the Palace job and not taken this Forest job, which seems like such a crappy managerial job.
I know.
Just like, and the owner seems like a crazy person, and the squad is ginormous and weird.
Yeah, and it kind of worked last year. And I actually don't think they should have sacked their manager. I thought was a little unfair. But let's see. Maybe Gio Reyna will be a spark. He'll probably start that Newcastle match on Saturday too. So maybe we make Gio Reyna our MFFA Player of the Week, Brandon. You know, he's got that dog in him.
Okay.
He does.
His parents at least have the dogs in them. So by proxy, Gio has the dog as well.
Yeah. All right. So I'm pulling for Gio this weekend, except I don't actually want him to score because I'm going to be starting Dubrovka. I just want him to look good.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So let's wrap things up, though. We have two final questions here. The first one's from Patrick. He says, who is your ideal front three? He says, Haaland feels obvious, but Watkins, Solanke, Tony, Darwin, Alvarez, Cunha was awesome. And for Wolves, never talk about him. And even Adebayo for Luton all feel like good picks as well. So I think, is this one of those questions, Brandon, that the answers its own question, which is that there isn't an ideal front three when you've got 9 or 10 different good forwards, and that you just kind of have to be kind of nimble?
This is what I'm struggling with, I think, and what lies beneath my point about one transfer is a difficult strategy, because there are all these options, and good luck picking the one that's going to go off in one particular week. Now, can I sit here and recommend Wolves assets to people? Wolves have been great. Wolves are having a good season, et cetera. These are good players.
Yeah.
But for just 1 week, for 2 weeks, for a certain window, are Wolves going to be the guys? So I guess
it'll be fun in 2026. Will be a fun week for Wolves, because four teams blank, and so we'll all need players, and they host Sheffield United in 2026. So there's your chance to get Cunha right there.
Yeah. Apart from that, I feel like just a week ago, the perfect front three would be Alvarez, Solanke, Watkins. And now, is it like Haaland, Darwin, Tony? Even though it feels like
feels wrong.
It feels not steady footing at all.
Yeah.
But I see a lot of upside there with that's three forwards with all three of them have doubles in 25.
I know. How long? I mean, this is just like it's a multi-year question at this point. But okay, I haven't looked this up yet. I'm going to look it up right now. How many double-digit returns do you think that Darwin has this season? Just had to guess. I mean, I have not looked yet.
Two.
Two is what I was going to say as well. I almost want to pick another number. Let's just stick with two here. He has three. Okay, damn. So he has an 11-pointer in 21. You got to go back to game week 10. He had a 10-pointer there. And then game week 3, he had an 11-pointer there. So interestingly enough, though, I mean, for all, you know, you go back 23 weeks in the season, and he has yet to score more than 11 points in a particular game week, which is when you consider how much he shoots, right? And like how much, I don't know. I'm honestly surprised he just hasn't had some match where he just exploded for a hat trick, right? Where just like, he just got lucky, right? And sure, things just sort of fell his way once. And it's kind of, I mean, 11 points for someone of his kind of volume is a little surprising.
John McGinn has the same number of fantasy points as Darwin Nunez this season.
It's insane. It's really ridiculous. He's got 7 goals and 11.1 XG, right? So that's 9 assists on 3 XG. So he's like the king of the fantasy assist. So go on, Nunez. It's rare. I mean, there has to be a lot of like off the, like, you know, ball is saved, right? And then somebody knocks home the rebound. The kind of thing that you wouldn't call like a real,
sure,
like the Premier League wouldn't call an assist, right? But in fantasy we do.
Yes.
Like I think he's got a lot of those.
Speaking of, what is going on with FPL that they didn't give that Gabriel assist to Martinelli?
Or to Gabriel, the defender. Yeah. Yeah. I don't get it because
explain yourself.
Yeah, because intention is like the decider, right? And the clearly that ball was tossed out for Martinelli to seize on, right?
Do they believe it was just a straight up clearance and not a pass of any kind?
But even still, the deflections, the touches, whatever.
The Anthony Robinson assist to Muniz was just like Robinson cleared that ball. He was flying through the air like he was a Street Fighter character. Like yeah, there is just as much intention
I want to hope that that was intended because that was actually like the highlight of my fantasy week so far was I got a great bonus moment from him too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A beautiful moment too when Muniz scored that goal, his first Premier League goal, and he broke down.
Yeah, he was really emotional. That was really cool too. And I just think it's cool because I mean like I didn't even know like I mean Frankie Muniz was such a great actor, you know, and everybody loved, what was the name of that show that he did on Fox?
Stuck in the Middle, Malcolm in the Middle.
Malcolm in the Middle. And for his kid to be just banging him in already for Fulham is, I think, terrific. So, yeah, congrats to the Nepo baby. But congrats to Frankie and his son. I don't get the Gabriel thing at all. I was shocked they didn't call that. I tweeted as such. I said, everybody, I was basically like, don't worry, they're going to fix this. Because I was like, sure of it. Thankfully, I didn't start Gabriel. I got that one right, thank goodness. Yeah. I was actually a little on the fence about Gabriel versus Robinson and who I was going to start. And I ultimately, thankfully, did to go with Robinson. That was worth, 6 points? So that was lucky the way that worked out.
It's big in a game week like this one.
For sure. All right, final question here. And this is one I'm not even sure we necessarily have the answer to, although that was an interesting question. It's from John Clovis, a Patreon supporter, Brandon, but I don't think we've ever had a question from Mr. Clovis before.
Oh, I remember a Clovis Q.
I think so, too. He said, can you tell me about fixture-proof players? Okay, so he has fixture-proof in quotation marks. Uh-huh. Does anyone ever check the data behind this, or is it just another way of saying players are good? I didn't expect Bowen to be fixture-proof, but I just checked the season scores. He has scored 5.6 points per game versus top 10 teams, 5.2 points per game versus bottom 10 teams. He passes the test. What does fixture-proof mean to you, Brandon?
Fixture proof means to me you're going to bring them in and never consider benching them. I guess it's really a I'm never benching them sort of argument.
Yeah.
And I think too, like we're spent a lot of this podcast talking, focusing on a particular stretch of the season, game week 24 to game week 26. And often we're looking at, oh, this player is going to fit this particular span of time perfectly well. A fixture-proof player tends to also be synonymous with the season keeper, perhaps. Yeah. So they would be those players that you'd use sort of carry on. I generally agree with the larger point of this question is sometimes we just take this like fantasy jargon and drive it into the ground until it doesn't mean anything anymore.
I think so too. And it actually got me thinking about Pedro Porro, who I had sort of put in a fixture proof territory. Sure, yeah. And now I'm not even sure he survives game week 25. And to me, I think I'm talking about him very specifically here, but like, I think Madison being back is a real killer for him. I just don't know that he needs to be the kind of on like set pieces the way that he was, you know, before Madison returned. And I think, and because Spurs don't really defend, it's you really need consistent attacking returns, you know, to sort of make it worthwhile. By the way, we like, what a whiff you and me and Richarlison, just like
I'm right. I'm never backing down from my hatred of Richarlison.
I just don't want to do like the sliding doors between the game week where I could have gone Richarlison over Martin Odegaard. That's worth what, like 35 points right there.
Fantasy points are fantasy points, and we just totally turn them away, and that's dumb. But the reason that Spurs drew with Everton, part of that reason was Richarlison could not hold the ball to save his life in that second half. And that's not a complete player, folks.
Okay. You've heard it. You heard it here first, last, and whatever.
That's the end of that conversation.
That's the end of that. That's the end of that chapter. All right. Well, on that note, I think that we're going to wrap things up here. Thank everyone for listening. Good luck in 24. Good luck with planning for 25. I would recommend waiting till late in the week. I would just ignore the price changes. Wait until Friday to make any transfer moves because, there's a lot of injuries and sort of, you know, because the Man City match is the early match on Saturday as well, it might be one of those horrible spots where I actually have to set an alarm for like 5:45 a.m. on Saturday to see if there's going to be something, right? I mean, there's always a
City leak, always.
Yeah, it drove Mark Southerns out of business, Brandon. Okay, out of the fantasy business. So I don't know, this leaker may be trying to pick off fantasy.
Wow, you know, we could be
one by one. Yeah, we could be next, exactly. So I hope he comes back, of course. But yeah, I think there probably will be leaks, and I highly doubt that anyone would get leaks and not share them after what happened this week. So
don't forget,
keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, we didn't mention this either. Champions League and European football is back between game week 24 and game week 25. City are away at Copenhagen, which is not really stiff competition by their standards, so I don't think it's a huge win. City's chasing the top of the Premier League table. Maybe they, I don't know how much that changes the squad rotation.
Still an away match though, right? You know, like in a Champions League elimination, so I have to take it pretty seriously. All right. Well, thanks to everyone for listening. And once again, you can join that second half league by becoming a Patreon supporter. Go to patreon.com/alwayscheating to do so. And producers, Brendan, just because you're feeling the weather, I'll do
take
the producer
it, take
thank
it away,
yous
buddy.
Here.
Yeah.
So Mike DiPietro, Trevor Ingerson, our buddy Chris Howell, Baba Skoon, James Holland, Dave Wagner-Lodell, Nick Wright, Lazaro Sienas, Jesse Halsted, Bruce Kerr, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Todd Byerly, Andy Portlock, at FPL Merch, Kerry Swanson, Jefferson Turner, Buffalo Wild Mings, Francis Moore, Sam Schauer, Caleb Robbie, Velgar Paulson Kruger, Alex Holcomb, James Keeley, The Saint, Bob Fox, Craig Jackson, Shalin Efkadakia, Terrence O'Donnell, Heath Cram, Thomas Tislav, Noah and Louise, Travis Grant, Linus Vennerstrom, Dan Parsons, James C., Matthew Skinner. What a nice, healthy number of producers we have, Brandon.
So
Fro
good.
Jacobson, Brennan, Daniel Hart, Lolly, Ben Coombs, Eric Kite, Gareth H, and our newest Patreon supporter, Rune Sandberg. Thank you to everybody, especially the people who've supported us in recent weeks. Really appreciate it. It's always, as you get farther into the season, it gets harder and harder to to sort of keep the till of new supporters coming through. So thank you for that. And if you want to support the pod even further, or maybe you don't want to become a Patreon supporter, but you'd like to do something, you can go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Google Play, wherever you listen to your podcast, and just give the podcast a 5-star rating or whatever kind of system they use there. It helps people find the pod. So you can do that. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram. We're at Hail Cheaters on those platforms, or on Facebook. You can also email us, hailcheaters@gmail.com, or visit our website, alwayscheating.com, for any information that we didn't cover here.
Yeah, you can't act like Stan Parrish, so there's no way to reach us. There's every way to reach us. Not Stan Parrish, Steve Parrish, Stan Parrish.
I thought you were talking about like that Stan that like the Eminem song about the fan, you know, was trying to write up letters, and I was like, wow, that guy had a last name in that song.
Yeah. Oh, I love any analogy in which we get to play the part of Dido. So there you go. Yeah. Reach out.
Stan and good Parrish.
And I'm looking forward to chatting more with our Patreon supporters on Thursday.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Talk to you soon.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.